I want to talk about this morning the blessing of receiving. And we're going to look at Acts chapter 20 here this morning. This is Luke. He is recording the last message that Paul had for the leaders in Ephesus. He is heading to Jerusalem, which will lead to his arrest and then his trip to Rome. And as he addresses them, he is talking about receiving, and he's talking about giving. So we'll just read his words here, and keep in mind that he is warning them that there are going to be people that enter into the church. There are going to be leaders that come, and they're going to come to fleece the flock, basically. They're going to come in and destroy the works that he already started. And so he's warning them, and starting with verse 2 in Acts 20. He says, "Now I commit to you and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." So we know what the Word of God does what? It builds us up, and it tells us what our inheritance is. Isn't that good news? So I'm going to stop right here. How many, you think I forgot about our memorization, did you? So the Romans roads. We talked about, I gave you a verse that we didn't go over. Romans 3:10, "For it is written..." No, there is none. No, not one. All right. It's just kind of Romans 3:23. "For the wages." All right. Some of you need to work on it, right? These are verses that we want to kind of get down into our database, that when the opportunity comes and when you're sharing your testimony, sharing what God is doing, that you're going to be able to flip into the salvation mode, right? To lead them to the Lord, to show them where they're at and they're standing with the Lord. So we're going to continue to do that, kind of remind you, refresh your mind, that it's important to hide the Word of God in our heart. Because he said, "Now I commit to you, to God, and to the Word of His grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by his kind of hard work, we must help the weak," or help those in need, those that need our help. "Remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" So that's the phrase I want to look at. I want to just pull that out of the context in which we're reading it here. It is more blessed to give than to receive. This phrase has become an idiom. It's become a proverb, and it is often misused and misunderstood. And I don't know about you. I watch TV now and then. I watch movies now and then. And now and then, this scripture will come up in the dialogue in those shows. It is more blessed to give than to receive. So it is a very familiar scripture that even the world knows that it's there in the Bible. So we read it with the idea a lot of times that giving takes precedence over receiving. How many know what blessed means? It means happy, right? It means joyful. And so a lot of times what we do is that we've heard something somewhere down the line and we read scripture with a prejudice. Maybe it's the first time we have heard it. Maybe it was taught that way. But when we come across something and somebody brings out something different about that verse, we kind of lock down and say, that's not right. Right? Because we have a prejudice. We have presumptions of what that scripture is actually saying. And so we're going to take a look at this scripture here today. I want to remove the words "more" and "than," all right, in this scripture. And we could possibly rewrite it this way if we remove those two words. It is blessed to give and receive. Is there any amens in the house? Amen. Kind of weak. And you're not sure where I'm going with this. You think it's a loaded question. It is. All right. So we read sometimes this scripture and we've been kind of taught that we put emphasis on the giving and not the receiving. And so hopefully, you'll not say that I'm doing scriptural an injustice here by kind of looking at this scripture in a different light here this morning. So how many enjoy receiving? And if you didn't raise your hand, you're a liar. Okay. We experience joy in receiving, right, when people bless us. Because what? It shows a sign that someone cares, that someone loves us, that somebody values us in some capacity, that they want to bless us. And if you don't feel that way, you're probably a Scrooge and ball humbug on you here this morning. But in most cases, okay, the level of happiness a lot of times is dependent on what we receive. I don't know about you. There are some presents I've received in life that I kind of wondered in my mind, not out loud, what in the world am I going to do with this? Amen. I mean, the giver gave it out of a heart thinking they're blessing you. And in my mind, I'm thinking, now what? But I don't know about you. Dads, we kind of, it comes into the place where we maybe get clothing, we get socks, and we get underwear. And woo! And they think that's a fabulous gift to give dad. All right? But how many know that we really like Lowe's cards in Home Depot, right? Right? How many know that you can never have too many tools? Amen. Amen. All right. We can never have too many tools. And so it depends. Sometimes our joy level is based on what has been given to us. And so when it comes to receiving a blessing, some people are better at it than others. It is. There are some people that glory in receiving. I have a family member that when we gather around at Christmas time, what we do is we open one present at a time so that everybody's watching to see what that individual got. But this individual in our family makes sure she has total attention on what's going on. Everybody's watching, right? No one's talking, right? Everybody's watching me open my present, right? And so, you know, we have those people that are very dramatic in receiving. Like today, Linda's just going to gush over all of us today as we bless her today and just thank her for her service to the church today. And I don't know if we'll be able to shut her up. She's just so dramatic in receiving. But there are some that may be embarrassed, which I just embarrassed her, right? So sometimes when we give something, it depends on where, when, and how we give it, right? My mom's one of those individuals that when we gather around, our nieces and nephews are usually there with us, and she likes to wrap up ladies' personal things. And they have to open it in front of the group. And so what she'll say is, what did you get? Show everybody. How many know that can be kind of embarrassing? So we all just enjoy our nieces just getting red in the face and just kind of, you know, ready to crawl underneath the couch. So there are times and places, right? There's those that glory, those that are embarrassed by it. There are some that might even be offended that you give them something, you offer them something. Or there are those that are unappreciative of what you're what you're giving them. And so when we have a hard time receiving from people, how many know that sometimes we rob people of a blessing, right? They just felt led, they felt unctioned, they felt something within their heart that said, hey, I just want to bless you. So we need to learn to be great receivers, right? Not that we're expecting anything, but when they do give, we need to be respond adequately to their giving. So Paul quantified receiving by added the more and the than into this sentence. It is more blessed to give than to receive. So what he's saying here, there is more joy and more happiness when we get to the place that we're not just receivers, but that we're givers. But we need to understand that it is okay to enjoy receiving. I believe that happy receivers make happy givers. That if you enjoy doing that, we should be able to reciprocate, turn that around, and bless others. I hope this Christmas, when you're looking at the individuals you're buying for, that you're actually excited about what you're giving them. You're not going out on Christmas Eve and saying, uh-oh, what can I give them? And you're walking down the aisles just picking stuff off the shelf saying, oh, I guess they could use this. I hope, Chris, that you are thinking already of what you're giving your wife. She's already given you the eye and saying you're not going out on Christmas Eve. All right? So you better get ready. You better get started. So, all right. So when we're feeling the joy and the happiness of receiving, we need to, what? Reciprocate that. We need to take that and turn it around and be givers. That we have that same mentality that we like to receive, that we also love to give to others. So this is our spiritual destination. This is what Paul's saying. You know, I worked among you. I worked hard. I took care of our own needs, and I didn't ask anything of you. And so here today, Paul's saying, you know, I took care of my own needs, but I blessed those that was with me. I blessed you in giving the gospel to you for free without it costing you anything. And so in our mind here today, it's our spiritual destination. It's a blessing to receive. It's a blessing to give. And we should be happy experiencing both. We should be happier at giving than receiving. So if we're happier at receiving than we are at giving, then we have a ways to go, something to work on. Because Philippians 2 tells us that there's a Christ-like attitude that we need to undertake. The Bible says in Philippians 2, what? Jesus, what? Laid aside his glory, came to earth as a servant. We see that we are to, what? Look after the good of others rather than ourselves. So these are just some of the things that Paul strove to do. That Paul is even encouraging those here in Acts chapter 20. And Luke recorded this for our benefit. So let me just look at some biblical examples here today. How many know that God loves to give gifts? He does. He loves to bless our socks off. And the truth is, some of us need to learn to receive some of the things that God has in store for us. But we know John 3:16, do we not? Can we quote it together? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him. All right, see, you know scripture, right? Get that scripture down. It's a good one. So there's two parts to this verse as we're reading this. We see God's part and we see our part. We see that God gives and we what? We receive. So when we look at God's part, we see that he loves us so much. He pours out his love that he gave his only begotten Son so that we can have whatever lasting life, that we can spend eternity with him. So these are three wonderful gifts all wrapped up in the person of Jesus Christ. So what's our part? We are to believe. Simply that. We are to believe. We are to receive his Son, Jesus Christ, so that what? We don't perish. So that's our response in John 3:16. But there are other spiritual examples of God giving gifts to us. Romans 6:23. For the wages. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. All right? So it's similar to John 3:16. He gives us his Son, what? Who will give us eternal life. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So think about it here today. How many men here have given your wife the perfect gift? And don't say it's you. So that just wiped you all out, right? All right? It is hard to find the perfect gift for people. There was one gift that I was really excited about giving Karen. When we visited in our first church here in Pennsylvania, I visited a couple that were homebound, and she happened to make quilts. And so in the room off the living room where I would sit and talk to them, she always had up a quilting frame, and there was always a quilt that she was working on. And I thought, man, that'd be a great gift to give my wife, because her grandma quilted, and it just kind of, I looked at it, and I thought some of those quilts were just absolutely beautiful. And so I had kind of hinted about it a while back that maybe I'd like to buy one off of her for my wife. And so as time went on, we got closer to Christmas, and I reminded her that, because she did, she sold them on consignment, she sold them. And so I asked her if I could get a quilt. And so she kind of gave her husband a look, and she walked out of the room and came back with a quilt. And it was a purple framed quilt, had white, I don't know all these things, the squares, right? And each one of them, there was a heart. And so when I saw it, it was like, because I had never seen it in her house before, but it was the right color, and it was absolutely beautiful. And so they gave it to me instead of me having to buy it. And so that's the way to go. But anyway, it was one of those gifts that I kind of felt was a perfect gift. And it was something that I put a lot of thought in. It was something that I thought she would enjoy. But when we look at God's gifts, I don't know sometimes what we really think, but I believe that God puts a lot of thought in what he's provided for us and what he does for us on a personal basis. He puts a lot of thought because it says every good gift. We all want to give good gifts, right? But how many of us often give the perfect gift, right? And so we look at it here this morning that God has given us a perfect gift in his Son, Jesus Christ, which takes care of every need that we have according to his glory in riches, right? So what a blessing that God gives us good gifts, but he also gives us the perfect gifts. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, you know this one, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is what? The gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So I want you to know that God's gifts are gifts of grace. They are grace that God has given us. They can't be earned, right? And so let's not get to the place where we get to the point where we think we have to earn them. God is saying, hey, I've got some wonderful, incredible, amazing gifts that I just want to pour out into your life. Yes, we got to accept them by faith. Yes, we got to believe that they're for us. And so there, we have to learn to be receivers. How many know if God said it, he'll do it, right? So if you don't know this by now, that God is a giver. He loves to give. It is his nature. He wants us to be happy to receive his infinite number of gifts. But note this, his giving is not based on our receiving. How many know that? He gives whether you receive it or not, whether you want to claim it or not, whether you want to open the gift or not. He gives anyway. He wants us to receive everything that he has for us. How many know that while we were yet sinners, right? God wrapped up his Son for us, right? That we might know him. So a gift is not a gift unless we receive it. So today, I'm encouraging you to receive the gifts that God has for us here this morning. So I would like to connect the scripture, John 3:16 here today, with the scripture of John 1:12. And again, it talks about God gives and we receive. John 1:12, this is another good scripture to memorize and witnessing to others. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power. That's the King James. Some of your translations say the right. How many know as children of God, we have rights? We have been given authority. That's all this word means, power, rights, authority, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So when we receive Christ, we become sons and daughters of God. Isn't that amazing thought here this morning that he incorporates us into his family? And he makes us like himself. He begins to change us. And what's he do? He gives us power. He gives us rights and privileges. And he gives us authority to walk in him. So let's apply John 1:12 to the commissioning of the disciples in Matthew 10:8. He sent the 12 out and he says this. And this is the same as Mark chapter 16. These signs shall follow those who believe, right? He says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. And we could stop there and say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. But this is, he goes on and says this statement, freely you have received, freely give. So we can't give something that we have not received. So what we have freely been given, right? We turn around and we give it away. Matthew 10, 8, that verse there says, that phrase says, give as freely as you have received. But I kind of like another one, the interlinear translation is basically, we told you that pick a version of the Bible to memorize, right? One that you can identify with. Most of us will not pick an interlinear translation because it's word from word. If you would have an interlinear Bible, you would see that it would be written in Hebrew or Greek, and underneath would be the English literal translation, which means that it wouldn't make sense sometimes the way we read it because the words are all mixed up. And so we wouldn't choose that, but this is what it says in the interlinear translation. It says, as a free gift you received, as a free gift give. So notice it says, you receive first, and then you give. Church, we don't own God's gifts. Hallelujah. We are to share them. So what he's given to us, what we've experienced through Jesus Christ, we are to pass it on and to share with other individuals. So the commentary reads this way about the scripture that I just read. It says, this is not so much as an expression of a liberality or generosity. Sometimes we base what we give on the amount we give, but that's not the case here. This is not so much an expression of liberality or generosity as it is without cause, without expecting a return. Christians do not need a reason to give. So it's not so much the amount that we give, but it's the motivation in which we give it. As believers today, we should be the best givers on the planet. And I'm going to tell you, when the church is taken away out of this world, the world is going to see how much the church, the followers of Jesus Christ, have done to help their fellow man. Think of all the hospitals that are there because of religious organizations. Of how many of our organizations around the world are touching those that are facing disasters. There is no other nation in the world that responds to a disaster in any nation of the world, no matter who they are, like those that are in the United States. And a good portion of those are believers in Jesus Christ. You take that out of the equation, the world will feel it. They will miss it. And they will realize who we are. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. So think about it here today. God gave with an expectancy of a return, but there was no guarantees. He gave Jesus Christ with a guarantee that maybe, possibly, nobody would accept it. Except we know that God has foreknowledge and he cheats, right? We give with an expectancy of a return. Most of us will say, maybe not, but there are no guarantees. We give with an expectancy. We love people, and what do? We expect them to love us back or to like us back, do we not? When we reach out in love, we expect some kind of positive response. We serve people. Why? For the fact that, hopefully, down the road, that when we're in need, that somebody's going to serve us. We give to people, right? And what? We expect somewhere down the road, someone's going to give back to us. If you don't believe me, what's the scripture say? Do unto others as you would have them do. There's an expectancy there, right? We do it unto them because there's going to be a time when we need it to be done to us. And I'm glad I'm part of the church of Jesus Christ today. That we have people that have our backs as believers here today. People in the church. So when we give, there is no guarantee of a return. We plant, we water with the hope of a harvest. So there is a law of sowing and reaping that God has placed on earth. That as we give, what's he say? There is going to be a harvest time. There is going to be a reaping time. So one of the family discussions that we kind of have almost every year at our house is that, how many know that Christmas sometimes can be a season of expectation, and it can be a season of disappointments. Because some of the things that our kids ask for are just absolutely ridiculous, right? And there's no way it's going to happen, and there's no way you're going to do it, whether you could do it or not. It's just not going to happen. And so we have those seasons of expectations and those seasons of disappointments. And one of the things we can do is take these moments and make them teachable moments. How many know that? When something arises, do you take time to explain why you think this is right or why this is wrong? It's important to do that with your kids. You know, that question is, why should I give them anything? Why should I give them something? They don't give anything to me. You've ever had that conversation? Yep. If you've had kids, you've probably had that conversation. All right? We give because, why do we give? Because we love people, right? We love people. That's our motivation, because even if they don't bless us, we want to bless them. And we follow God's example, as we have read in the scriptures already. We give with an expectancy of a return. It may not be a reality. Sometimes we give, we don't even get a thank you out of it. But at least if we give something, there's at least that. Well, he didn't even say thank you, right? Just a decent courtesy of acknowledging that you gave them something. But how many know it's more blessed to give than to receive? So we need to consider two questions here today as we are giving and receiving. Number one is, what is our motivation for giving? Are you giving because you love people or because you've been guilted into it? How many know at holiday season, especially Christmas, somebody will give you something and then you feel like you're obligated to give something back, right? And maybe you didn't even think about that person, or maybe someone came out of the blue and they gave you something and it's like, oh man, now I've got to do something for them. That's called guilt, right? All right? How many know sometimes we just give it because we appreciate people, because we love them, we want to just bless them, or maybe they're in need, or maybe that we're so blessed. How many are that way? How many are blessed? So blessed that you just want to be a blessing. How many know the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver, right? I don't know about you. I'm a very blessed individual. God has been very good to us. So, what is our motivation for giving, right? It has to do with our expectations. So, what is our expectation, number two, of our return? So, when you're giving something, is there something that you're looking for in a return? Or have you come to the place where you don't care? So, we either give with an expectation that we're getting something back, or we're getting nothing back. I don't know about you, that people that are takers, they can sometimes offend you. If the group that goes down to Pittsburgh and they go out and they reach the homeless, they offer them things. They offer them clothing and blankets and this and that and all these different things to help them. But you'll have those individuals that'll say, well, I don't want that. I want this. And you kind of feel like just going, you know, give them a Gibbs on the back of the head, right? Some of you will catch that on here in a little bit. Ungrateful, right? That wasn't what you were expecting. You're here. You took your time. You baked things. You made things. You bought things. You did things to help them, and unappreciative. So what is our expectation of a return when we're giving to people? So you need to determine that ahead of time. What do you want back from it? Something or nothing? So if our focus is on giving with the expectation of a return, we can feel burned out. How many can know that you can feel like you've been used, dried out? And how many know you can actually become bitter? Right? We can resent people that seem to all they do is want, take. And we can kind of get an attitude concerning it. That's why we need to determine our motivation for giving and what your expectation is of a return. Every relationship is a potential give and take situation. It is. You need to evaluate your giving. Paul warned the Corinthians not to give under compulsion. How many know that? Guilt. How many of us give out of guilt? Right? Don't give under compulsion. Give because you want to give. Because that's what's in your heart. It's what you want to do. God has not called us, church, to be doormats. But a Christian, as we are called to interact with each other, encouraging one another, loving one another, and serving one another. So giving and receiving is a convenient covenant principle. How many know that? It's vertical. It's horizontal. So how many are hungry? All three of you? Okay, that's not enough hands, so I'll keep preaching. Okay. All right. We're winding down here. Jesus instructed his disciples to preach and minister to people. He said, freely you give, freely. I got that backwards, didn't I? Freely received, freely give. So what Jesus tells his disciples if they wouldn't receive it? Wipe the dust off your feet, right? And move on. Some of us need to learn to move on. Some of us are trying to make relationships work that aren't working. Hey, give what you give. Give what you feel like the Lord wants you to do. But if they're not receiving it, forget it and move on. Hey, amen? That was kind of weak, but that's okay. Because you don't believe I said that. You don't believe Jesus said that. But Jesus doesn't beg anybody to follow him. He doesn't. There are many scriptures on receiving. You have not because you ask not. Everyone who asks, ask anything in my name, and I'll do it, right? It will be given to you. If you believe, you will receive what you ask for, right? So on and on and on, we have all these scriptures about how we are to receive. God's promises are for the asking and the receiving. So there is a blessedness, yes, in giving, but there is also a blessedness and a happiness and a joy in receiving. So let's not feel guilty about that aspect of it. But it just adds more blessed, more happy are you that you're not just a receiver, but you're also a giver. The author of Hebrews in chapter 6, verse 1 says, so let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. And so this is one of those areas that we need to grow up in and understand that we are receivers, but we're also givers. So evidence of maturity in us is when we realize that we are blessed receivers. Do you feel that way? I feel I'm blessed. My life is abundant. Look at my waistline. Blessed too much. We're blessed of God. We're blessed by others. Church, we need to be thankful and acknowledge the fact that we are blessed people. You know, one of the things that we try to communicate with our daughters that our livelihood, our life, everything that we have has been based on what people have given us as pastors. They don't quite grasp the idea. You know, we are to appreciate the church because they make our living. Not that we use you, but you bless us by being faithful to God. We recognize that and we are thankful for that. And from our family, we thank you. But as we mature, we realize that we are to walk in the shoes of a giver. We are to take a greater role as a blesser and not just a blessee. And I didn't put that on the screen because I know that Linda Miller would correct me. So, because they're not words. Blessers and blessees. All right? We are called to be blessers. All right? So Acts 20:35, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Hallelujah. Let's just close here today. And I just encourage you here today. There's two ways we can respond to God here this morning. I'm just going to ask you to stay seated where you're at. No one move at this time. Maybe you may find yourself in both categories here this morning. But maybe you're here today and you need to learn to receive. Maybe you've been disappointed, discouraged in some of the things that you've been praying about and you haven't found the answer. But there is a joy in receiving. As that old hymn says, count your blessings, name them one by one, and see what the Lord has done. I love that hymn. It ministers to me because sometimes we get so hung up on the one thing that we haven't seen an answer for, when we can look and count the numerous and things that God has done. God is not on our timetable, church. He's working the details out to bring your answer about. Sometimes he has to put people in position, the right people in position, to help you where you're at. And how many know people don't always go where you want them to go? How many know they're like sheep? He's working out the details. So whatever you may be facing here this morning, don't give up and don't give in. Hang on, because the blessing is coming. Blessed are those who receive. Blessed are those who receive. And secondly, some of us may need to kind of change our idea of what a giver is. Giving is not just money. Sometimes it's just time. Sometimes it's just being nice to people, acknowledging people, being thankful. Maybe it's an area of your life you need to grow in. It is more blessed to give. It's more. You're a happier person when you give. You're more joyful as a giver than you would be just being a receiver by itself. We need to be both here this morning. I encourage you this morning, where are you? Maybe you just need Jesus in your life. Maybe we need to go back to John 3:16 and take it seriously. For God so loved the world that he gave you Jesus. And the Bible says if he's given us his son, how much more will they give us? Hallelujah. Do you need Jesus this morning? Do you need healing this morning? You need encouragement this morning? I don't know what your need is here this morning, but you do. Maybe there's something that's been going on, and maybe it's not been weeks or months. Maybe it's been years, and you're still waiting. Be encouraged. Emmanuel, God with us, he's still with you. He's still working out the details. Maybe you're here today, and I'm just going to encourage you to stand up where you're at here this morning. Maybe you have a need this morning, and you just want to receive this morning, by faith, what he has prepared for you. Anybody this morning, just receive. Stand up where you're at. And secondly, if God's sharing with you this morning that you need to work in the area of giving this morning, that you've been holding back, are you here this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is one of those moments God wants to do something for you. He wants you to receive something. He wants to encourage you this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Father, we come to you this morning. We all have needs in our life, Lord. We're all going through things. We have family members that are going through things. We have friends that are going through things, Lord. And God, they need to know that you are real. They need to be encouraged that, Lord, you haven't given up on them. You haven't given up on the circumstance. But you are working. As the song says, even though we can't see you working, you're still working. Hallelujah. You're still working. And we appreciate that this morning. And we're reminded, Lord, that you're the Savior, that you save us from anything and everything that we go through. You don't just save our hearts and our souls, our spirits, our lives, but you save us. You're our superhero. You're our Savior. You're the one who meets our needs. And we accept that fact here this morning. And we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. Father, we also want to be the givers that you choose us to be. Help us to be sensitive to the moving of the Holy Spirit that speaks to our heart. That we're not motivated out of all these false motivations like guilt, but Lord, that we do it because we love. We love, Lord, because you first loved us. And you poured it out in our hearts. We thank you this morning, God, for just your grace, your mercy, your love. And thank you that you came to earth, not to be just a baby, but Lord, to be a man that would take our place and die on the cross for us. We thank you, Jesus. And we give you the praise and the glory for answering prayer today, for ministering to those that are in need here today, for changing circumstances. I pray that you will allow, Lord God, some encouragement even today that you're working behind the scenes in these circumstances. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.